the rain. He's the God who put water in Niagara's Falls. He's the God that put the lean in the Tower of Pisa. He's the God that carved out the Grand Canyon. He's the God that put snow on top of Mount Everest. He's the God that taught birds to fly, and they never went by pilot school. He's the God that taught fish to swim, and they never went by the YMCA. If your God ain't working today, you ought to try my God, for my God is an awesome God. He reigns and rules and has regency in heaven and here on earth. What a joy, what a privilege, what a pleasure, what an ecstasy to be back in these hallowed and holy walls of the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. I'm glad to stand and brag on Jesus. That's all preachers do. We just brag on Jesus. And if you're going to brag on somebody, you ought to brag on Jesus. I'm thankful to the great leadership and the membership and the fellowship at this church. I'm appreciative of your preacher. Sheldon Gibbs is a star in our brotherhood. Sheldon Gibbs is an erudite scholar. Sheldon Gibbs is an evangelical potentate. Sheldon Gibbs, I'm trying to think of fancy words that's befitting of such a great man. Sheldon Gibbs is highly thought of. He's a worthy billboard and ambassador for Jesus. The whole brotherhood knows you because we know him. And I'm appreciative of a man of his stature and gravitas, a man of his renown, of his strata, who condescends himself to hang out with preachers like me. I'm thankful of the friendship we have forged. He said he liked me, but I love him. Amen. And men now got to be careful how we publicly tell them we love each other. You know, but we love each other, and there ain't nothing fishy going on. Ain't neither one of us from Broke Bright Mountain. We love each other with the love of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, back home, my wife called me Hercules. ain't nothing funny about me. Say amen, gal. I got an answer for some stuff, but that ain't it. I'm thankful for him, and it's evident that this man has done a stupendous job here at Greenville Avenue. I'm appreciative to the lovely Sister Gibbs, the First Lady, who my wife and I love and respect and admire them and their children and grandchildren who we come to know. And to the great elders of this church, the bishops, the presbyters, the shepherds. No way you could have a church this great without very solid and visionary leadership. I'm neither a novice nor am I a neophyte. I've been preaching a long time, and I am keenly aware in my two visits here that you all have great leadership. You say you ain't been here long, but I don't have to watch the whole movie to know who the main stars are. And I don't have to watch the whole movie to know how it's going to end. Say amen when you can. Some of y'all sit there after the movie over still trying to figure out what's going on, But I saw the first time after scene one, I knew that there's a great preacher here and there are great elders here and deacons who work interfatigably and laboriously amongst the saints here. And there's a membership here that's friendly, warm, and affable, and sure enough, I know how to make a visitor feel alive and glad to be in the house of the Lord. You have a dream team here, so don't you be the one that mess it up. I'm appreciative of being here. I have traveled extensively this year. The Lord has blessed my ministry in just a unique way, and I'm humbled. I know God doesn't have to do what he does. And I've learned how to just sure enough be thankful and humble. My year's travel started here in January, and it shall end here. in December. Bookends, Alpha and Omega. Y'all, my beginning and my end, preaching wise. I'm just thankful again to be at Greenville, and hopefully and prayerfully I can deposit a word that is rich enough that would help you as you matriculate down the King's Highway and you climb Jacob's ladder to glory. You've been under the auspices and umbrella this year. Are you thriving or just surviving? And I thought that was such a profound and prophetic theme that I've been 15 or 20 other places this year, and I have inculcated that into much of my preaching, because it's such a rich and relevant word for the Church of Christ. I'm concerned. I'm not worried. I'm concerned about the Church of Christ, because there are many pockets and areas where the church ain't the church no more. And I'm glad to see that the church here is progressive and thriving, but yet holding on to one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We don't have to modernize the gospel. You don't have to keep up with the Joneses. Keep up with Jesus, and everything gonna be all right. So I'm glad. What, as I pontificated and ruminated last night, and as I sashayed and parleyed up to my hotel room, and as I consulted with the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, on what it is you want me to use as a sermonic soliloquy that would be helpful and beneficial to the Greenville Church. I thought about Isaiah the prophet. And if you would be so beneficently kind, allow me to summon your senses and invite your intellect to Isaiah chapter 40 and rendezvous with me at verse number 29. I'm thankful. Not only do y'all have great elders and deacons and sure enough a great preacher, but everything around here is good. The transportation ministry, Brother Glass picked me up first class curbside service. I felt like an entertainer. And put me in and took me to the restaurant and took me to the hotel and picked me up this morning. Can I come back? Yeah, I like this place. I mean, some place you got to catch Uber to the church. But this place here, but y'all know how to treat a preacher. Yeah. And so, but I do appreciate the whole gamut of ministry. And some of you probably don't go far from here. You never visit. You never travel. You all at the pinnacle and the zenith, the apex, and you ought to be appreciative of the church that God put you in and relish it and cherish it and do your part, make your contribution to make Greenville Avenue a thriving church. Isaiah chapter 40, I've given you time on your iPad or iPhone 14. You know, ain't nobody got no Bible no more. Everybody got these electronic apparatuses. And if these things break, a whole lot of folk going to be in trouble. Because you need to be able to take your Bible and find a word. Amen. But Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases their strength. You need to listen now. Even young folk shall faint and be weary. Young folk, you ain't going to be young always. Say amen when you can. All of us over 50, say amen. I'm like Michael Jordan. I'll be 56 my next birthday. I can still jump high, but my hang time ain't what it used to be. Just keep on living. Keep on saying good morning, my dear say. Keep on sitting around the breakfast table. Even young folk, Isaiah said, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But here's the verse of inference. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God can't renew what he's never given you to start with. For the child of God, this promise is not for everybody. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Greenville Avenue, I need to talk to you a few phonetic moments, if you allow me to, from a theme: soaring, sprinting, or strolling. It's right there in the verse. We'll mount up with wings like an eagle. That's when we're soaring. But nobody soars always. When life clips your wings, when life takes the wind from beneath your wings, when you ain't soaring no more, he said he'll give you strength to run. That's when you're sprinting. But keep on living. Let you get 70. Let you get, by reason of strength, 80. And you won't be soaring. You won't be sprinting. He said, you'll walk then. That's when you're strolling. Everybody in here is in one of these categories. And every one of these categories is needed for the church to thrive. Somebody's got to be soaring. Others need to be sprinting. Some of us will be strolling, but ain't nobody got no business sitting. I wish I had a church in here. I think I told y'all, where I'm from, folks say amen. I guess because we're down in Florida and it's hot down there. But every now and then, make a brother feel good. I wasn't on my way to Oklahoma and stopped here. Y'all invited me. Say amen when you can. So every now and then, give me an amen, even if it's a Baptist amen. Give me one of them. I mean, yeah, wink your eyes, do something. That let a brother know that you're still on the line. We're privileged today to read from the prophetic pen of Isaiah, the son of Amaz. Isaiah, the evangelical prophet of old. Isaiah, this major prophet that wrote the most voluminous of all the books of the prophets. Isaiah has the distinction, the rare distinction, that only a few biblical writers had, which is he wrote a book that actually bears his name. Isaiah wrote arguably and possibly more prophetically about the coming Christ and his kingdom, the church of Christ, than all of the other prophets combined. I dare ever to preach Isaiah without remembering to quote Isaiah 9:6, where he, 700 years before Jesus was born, he looked down the corridors of time, took a divine telescope, and looked down the eons of history. And he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And you need to get the memo. Some of y'all depressed right now. But Isaiah said, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. There's a God who can trump Trump. Yeah, God don't run for office every 4 years. God is never to be voted in or voted out. It does not matter who's in the White House. Just make sure God is living in your house. And that you make your way to the church house. I'm concerned, but I ain't worried, because Isaiah said before there was a Christ and a church and before there was a Trump, Isaiah said the government would be on Jesus' shoulders. Let us look to not Capitol Hill. The church ought to look to Calvary's Hill, because we need more than a senator. We need a savior. We need more than a Supreme Court. We need a high judge. I feel like preaching here today. I thought y'all might be this way. So yesterday when I boarded the plane, I put some amens in my suitcase. The TSA agent stopped me yesterday in Orlando, said there's something in this suitcase that looks strange when it went through the detection machine, and they opened it in my face, and there was packed in there a whole bunch of amens. Because I thought you may be quiet, so I packed my own amen. I had to pay extra for my baggage, but it's all right. Amen, somebody. The prophet said, the government shall be on his shoulders. His name shall be Wonderful Counselor. Y'all read your Bible? Mighty God, Prince of Peace, and Everlasting Father. Isaiah starts by giving us the names of God. But don't you ever stop with just knowing the names of God. You need to get familiar with the nature of God. Too many of us know all of God's names, but we don't know nothing about God's nature. I know you know, like I know his names. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's Jehovah Nissi. He's Jehovah Shalom. He's Jehovah Sittenu. He's Yahweh. He's Elohim. I know you know his name, but how many of y'all know about God's nature? Isaiah not only gives you God's names, but he gives you God's nature. And that catapults us. It gives me entree to go from his names to his nature. What's his nature, Brother Leonard? He gives power to the faint. And those who have no strength, he increases their strength. It's an ungetaroundable, indisputable fact that even young folks shall be weary, Isaiah said, and the young men shall utterly fall. But here's the word today. They that wait upon the Lord. And the etymology of that word, their wait, does not mean sitting on a rocking chair on your front porch waiting for the Lord to come back. Wait there means those that look for the Lord. Those that trust the Lord, those that depend on the Lord, those who have confidence in the Lord, those are the person he shall renew your strength. In other words, God will recharge your battery. And I don't care how long you've been in the church. You might have been baptized on Pentecost. I don't know how much Bible you read. I don't know how many Sunday school classes you've been to. I don't care how long you've been a member of the blood-bought, heaven-bound, Christ-centered, hair-proof church in the Bible. I don't care who you are and where you're from and what you drive and what you wear and where you live and where you went to school. Every now and then, everybody in here needs God to recharge our battery. If you don't ever get down, you better than me. Say amen. Maybe you ought to be preaching today and I ought to be listening to you. But I got a sneaking suspicion today that everybody in here, every now and then, needs the Lord to renew our strength and recharge our battery. And then he moves, and I got to move with frenetic speed. I got a whole lot to say, and y'all ain't looking right. Say amen when you can. I wouldn't do you like that if you came to Orlando. I'd be supporting you. But I don't have to answer to God on how you treat me. I got to answer to God on how I treat you. So y'all help a brother out. Give me a little HBO, help a brother out. I came by to tell you today, Isaiah now moves into the three stages of everybody's life. He said, God will help you to mount up with wings like eagles. And when you can't soar, he'll help you to run this race. Run and not be weary. And when you can't run no more, he'll help you to walk and not faint. He exposes for us, beloved, the three stages of every Homo sapiens existence. It is a part of the human condition. Every believer in the body of Christ is either soaring, sprinting, or strolling. Ain't nobody got no business sitting. Amen belongs there. Notice what he says to you. This is how you thrive, Greenville. You see, he uses an analogy. He makes allegory in a homogeneous, copaesthetic way. He says, God will help you mount up with wings like an eagle. It's not happenstance that he uses the eagle as a relevancy in the text for soaring. An eagle does something that no other bird can do. As a matter of fact, don't get lost in the truancy that the greatest country on this celestial ball we call planet Earth, the United States of North America, the symbol of America is not the presidential seal. The symbol of America is not Old Glory, the flag. The symbol of America is the bald eagle. I wish I had a church in here. Because an eagle does something that no other bird can do. That's why Isaiah said, you shall mount up with wings like an eagle. America don't play about bothering eagles. If you want to go to jail quick, fast, in a hurry, have an eagle to build a nest and you go bother it. You'll get more time for killing an eagle than killing a brother. I wish I had a church in here. We got a strange country. You know, there's some people that get mad at you for killing a dog, but killing a black man, I'm sorry, I don't want to bother that. They'll tie themselves to a tree and save a tree, but walk right by a man hungry and won't feed him. They'll go out to the ocean and try to save a whale, but live next door to a, y'all done got. It's a strange country. A few months ago, a gorilla grabbed a little boy and they shot the gorilla, and some people from Europe got mad about it. Say amen when you can. And I told my church back home, if that gorilla would have grabbed my two-year-old grandson, they wouldn't have had to shoot him. I'd have got down there with that gorilla. Say amen when you can. I'd have got in his donkey. Say amen when you can. They'd have had to shoot both of us. Say amen when you can. Yeah, animals, and I don't get me wrong, animals are not like humans. Jesus never came down here to redeem animals. He came to redeem us. And I know some of y'all got dogs and cats you love. I ain't mad at you, but it's not true. All dogs don't go to heaven. There is no dog heaven. If you wake up some glad morning and your dog is with you, you ain't in heaven. You better check your address. Say amen when you can. And I'm trying to make the point here. The Bible makes allegory out of animals, but animals are not like humans. He says, you shall mount up with wings like an eagle. Why an eagle? Because an eagle is the only bird that soars. Other birds fly, but y'all done got quiet on me. Have you ever seen an eagle in flight? How beautiful and effortlessly he flies. No other bird can do what the eagle does. His huge wingspan. An eagle can flap his wings and fly a quarter of a mile from one flap of his wings. I said we ought to mount up like eagles. An eagle is the only bird that can look directly into the sunlight and never blink his eye. An eagle is the only bird that from 2 miles in the sky can see a rat crawling on the ground, swoop down and pick up the rat, fly back 2 miles and digest him in midair. An eagle, the female eagle, conceives her child while flying with the male eagle in the air. The eagle is the only, I wish I had a church in here. The eagle is the only bird that soars. He does not fly, he soars. And Isaiah said, for the child of God, for Greenville Avenue, for Southside and Orlando, if we want to thrive, we need to learn how to soar. Y'all still ain't know when to shout right here. You know what else distinguishes an eagle? An eagle only flies with other eagles. Eagles don't hang with turkeys. I'm going somewhere now. if you're going to get quiet, here's the time. Eagles don't fly with buzzards. Eagles don't run with chickens. Y'all done got quiet on me here. Eagles don't even hang out with peacocks. Eagles only fly with eagles. Because if you're going to soar in life, you got to learn how to fly with other people that soar. The quickest way, young people, for you to hit rock bottom is to hang out with people who ain't going nowhere. You see, eagles don't hang out with buzzards. And we got too many buzzards in the church. Buzzards just fly around waiting for something to die. They don't kill nothing. They just wait for something. We got buzzard members. They don't throw rocks, but they sure waiting on you to die. I wish I had a church in here. Eagles don't run with turkeys. We got too many turkey members. Turkey is good only once or twice a year. We got too many members that show up and contribute once or twice a year. Oh, yeah, I told y'all get quiet now. I got it right now. You don't got to worry about it. I got this. You ain't got the cosign right now. I got this here. I knew you're going to get quiet now. Eagles don't hang with peacocks. Peacocks are real pretty, but they don't fly. We got too many peacock members. They look real good. They dress real nice. But when it comes to the ministry of the church, they cannot be found. Eagles don't even run with chickens. Say amen when you can. Chickens lay too many eggs. Say amen when you can. And we got too many members. The leadership can't get the work done because you keep laying too. Eagles only run and fly and soar with eagles. My grandmama didn't go far in school, but she had good sense. My grandmama didn't know that Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manner. She didn't know that, so grandmama said it this way, birds of a feather. I see y'all had the same grandmama idea. She said, birds of a feather flock together. And if you want to soar in life, you can't fly with buzzards. You can't fly with chickens. You can't hang with peacocks. You can't run with turkeys. Eagles need to fly with eagles. Too many church members are trying to hang out with dirty birds. You cannot soar unless you mount up with wings like an eagle. Not only that's a uniqueness. Notice the verbiage. Notice the lexicon. Notice the language. He said, you shall mount up. But wait, the eagle is the only bird in the fowl kingdom that can mount up. See, other birds, when a storm comes, they have to land and wait for the storm to pass. Other birds, if they get caught in the air, they got to fly around the storm. Other birds, if happenstance and tragedy strikes, they get caught in the storm. But for the eagle, he's the only bird. That's why Isaiah said, for you to thrive, mount up with wings like eagle. When a storm comes, an eagle doesn't land. An eagle don't fly around it. He doesn't try to fly through it. The eagle mounts up and flies. Y'all about to get this thing. Y'all just woke up, didn't you? Yeah. An eagle flies over because God wants you and I to know for us to thrive and be the kind of children he's called us to be. You got to stop trying to get out of your storms, go around your storms. Storms are through. Sometimes in life, you got to get over it. Some of y'all still mad about stuff that happened to you in the seventh grade. You going on Maury Povich and calling somebody to get a DNA test. It's shy time for you to build a bridge and get over it. You got to let some of y'all still mad about slavery. Every time roots come on, you almost catch a case because you ain't got over it yet. But it's time for you to mount up with some wings and get over some stuff. Some stuff happened in the church. Yeah, it may have hurt you. Yeah, it may not have been right, but eagles, get over it. If you're going to stay married, there's some stuff you got to get over. Y'all done got real quiet on me. I've been married 36 years, and I know if you've been married over 3 days, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Ain't nobody in here been married over 3 days who ain't had a storm. If you still married, you done had a storm. Preach, Brother Leonard. I know you're sitting in church now, all saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost. I know it, but some of y'all had the po-po at your house last week. Goody, goody, I got you. Everything in life that is of substance, sooner or later you got to fly over it. And notice this about the eagle. Not only does he mount up and fly over storm, the wind of the storm is the impetus that gives him flight to fly. The bigger the storm, the higher he y'all don't get what I'm telling you. See, the bigger his storm, the higher he can fly. I'm trying to tell you, when the devil sends you a storm in life, use it as an opportunity to go higher in Jesus Christ. You can soar, but you can't soar running with them buzzards. Young people, Petey Weedy Straw, the devil's son-in-law, Big Baby and Lil Pistol Starter, and Lil Mike and all, Pookie and Ray Ray, you ain't going nowhere hanging with them. God wants us to soar. But Brother Gibbs, do you not know in life, I don't care how hard you try. I don't care how much you read your Bible. I don't care how many times you attend church. I don't care how many times you partake of the Lord's Supper. Nobody soars always. Ain't no need you complaining about life. Ain't no need you going on the internet hitting pityparty.com. If you have a pity party, ain't nobody going to come but you. You got to learn in life that nobody soars always. That's why the verse said, notice the progression. The flow of the verse. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. And then when you can't soar no more, he said, then you shall run. Because don't nobody always soar. Even this church, as great as you are, there are periods and pockets of this church that y'all feel like you're not soaring, you're just running. Nobody soars always. So he then says, for you to thrive, understand, at this very moment, Greenville has got members that are soaring, but some can't soar no more, but they're running. That's when you're sprinting. And I'm glad God will give you grace for the race. When you can't fly, when you can't soar, you can still sprint. See, young people, listen. I'm thankful. I ain't old, but I done got old enough now where stuff's starting to hurt. Come on, 55. Yeah, come on now. I got an AARP card. Now that I got so hurt, they sent me, my wife and I, it hurt my little feeling. I started getting mails from retirement communities saying you can move in here now, you know. Don't that hurt you, you know? But listen, when you're young and soaring, you young people, listen, yeah, y'all soaring now, but you ain't going to soar all the way. Come on, old folks, amen. See, old people operate different than young people. Old people leave home in time to go where they going. See, when you're young, you got to be to church at 8, you leave home quarter till. Old folk left 7:15, say amen. That's how life works. Come on, you know, you get on the road. You can't afford for no light to catch. You get to the light, and old folk already at the light. And they so comfortable, they done put their car in park. Come on, that's what. And the light change, you and a bump, bump, bump. Pop's cool. Pop puts his car back in drive. Pop take off slow to save gas. You burning rubber, you squealing, you darting in and out, get to the next light before Pop, and you sitting there waiting Pop pull up and wave at us. Because old folk, they leave home and same every again. See, once they know they can't soar no more, they govern themselves. Amen. I got here, Brother Glass got me here at the time. All the seniors were here. They're sitting down waiting on church. All you young millennials, y'all coming in. Oh, Lord. Girl, they done started. when you can't soar no more, see, old folk don't do like y'all. When you get a certain age, the first thing you do when you get in a place you ain't never been, you identify where the bathrooms are. Preach, Brother Lenas. I'm on medication now, say amen if you can. I can't afford to wait till I need it. I need to know where it is. Preach, Brother Lenas. Young folk go to the movies, they watch the whole movie. Old folk, we got to check out and come back. Say amen when you can. Keep on living. You might be soaring today, but one day you ain't going to be soaring. But when you can't soar no more, here's the verse. I didn't make this up. It's right there in the verse. You will mount up with wings like an eagle, and then you'll run. Life. Some of you don't understand. Life just has a propensity and a proclivity. It'll clip your wings. It'll take the wind out of your sails. And sometimes you can't soar no more, but don't leave Christ. Don't leave the church. Don't leave God. Don't leave your family. Because even when you can't soar, God can use folk that sprint, who still run. The verse said, you'll mount up with wings like eagle, but when you can't do that, you'll run. And sometimes you just got to run for Jesus. We used to say, I've been running for Jesus a long time, but I'm not tired yet. You know, my grandson, 2 years old, he got so much energy. He asked me questions all the time. You know, and children, God wastes youth on the young. Yeah, it does. Same baby guy. They got all that energy, but no sense. We got all the sense, but no same if you can. I ain't seen the end of a football game in 10 years. Because when they come on at night, I start out good. But in the third and fourth quarter, they make a mistake. They go to commercial. And when they come back from commercial, I wake up in the game, nigga. Anybody in here old enough to remember when TV used to go off? Say amen when you can. You wake up, they're playing the national anthem. Come on, you got to be over 50 now. Okay, don't let me hold them. Gibbs, God can use soaring people, but for the church to thrive, we got to have some sprinting people. My grandson asked me a plethora of questions, always, Papa this, Papa? What's that, Papa? And sometimes he just getting on my nerve. He live with us. And I said, man, don't ask me that. Papa know everything. He tuck his little tail and go off. He come back to me one day. He asked me something. He said, I said, but why you keep asking me all them questions? He said, I told him a week before. I said, now, don't ask me that. Papa know everything. There ain't nothing you can ask me. Papa, I don't know. He came back the next week and asked me something. I said, son, why you keep asking me that? He said, I thought you said you know everything. See, young people mind is sharp. They don't just drive fast. They text fast. When I get ready to text, I got to take both hands, put the phone down. My daughter got a swipe. She just swiped the text. And when you're young, your faculties work good. Say amen when you can. But I ain't soaring no more, but I'm running. Because God not only used soarers, but he used sprinters. And bless my bones, even when you can't sprint no more, he said, you can walk. I wish I had a church. See, in life, let me land this plane. In life, sometimes you can't soar. Keep living. You life will clip your wings. Yeah, well, you ain't got to sign up. You ain't got to go down to the hospital and say, nah, I know sick people come here. Unless y'all forget about me, here's my address. You ain't got, no. You don't have to tell sickness where you live. Just keep living. And you ain't got to be old for life to clip your wings. But when you can't soar, run. But when you can't run, I'm glad the verse allows you to stroll. Notice what he says. Mount up with wings like eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk. Because there's a stage in life when you can't soar, you can't sprint, you just got to stroll. And isn't it ironic how God, in the circle of life, you come here in a stroller and you leave. Say amen. When you're young, somebody got to carry you. And when you get old, the people who you carried ought to carry you. Say amen when you can. See, even when you can't soar a sprint, God can use strollers. Because Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, the prize is not given to the swift, nor is it given to the strong, but to he that what? Endure. Listen, folks. Listen. Whether you're soaring, sprinting, or strolling, we're all still going in the same direction. Lord, how can I help Greenville Avenue and send them home? Am I doing all right? I'm kind of insecure sometimes. Am I doing all right? Y'all make me get a complex. Am I doing all right? Sometimes you got to just walk. But when you're walking with God, you ain't good company. Because the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. And he kept on walking with God, and he kept on walking with God. The one day he stepped right on into eternity. He, along with Elijah, never saw death. So when you can't soar and fly like eagles, and when you can't run like Usain Bolt, you can still stroll. And I learned just the way I am, and I'm glad your preacher loved me the way I am. I don't know how to be eruditish and sophisticated and pontificate like these other preachers. I just have to be me. I'm glad he allows me to be me and come preach to a church like this. See, now that I'm getting it, I can't soar and my running legs ain't good as you. I'm starting to stroll a little bit. But since I got a stroll, I learned how to put some glide in my stride. Put some dip in your hip and get on the mother. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot where I was. Sometimes you just got to have a little diamond in the back, sunroof top. You got to dig in the scene with the gangster lean. Oh, y'all ain't been in the church all week, huh? I heard somebody give me some of that. For this church to thrive. For this church to thrive. I'm glad you're not satisfied with surviving. I'm glad. I took that back home. I told the elders and the deacons in our church, we want to thrive. And for this church to thrive, you got some people who are going to soar, some people who are going to sprint, others who can only stroll. But nobody ought to be sitting. Because the Lord reconstitutes us and renews our strength. He replenishes us. He recharges our battery. As long as we keep our eye on Jesus. I've been trying to figure out how I can land this plane. Listen, I had the distinct honor. Listen, I love your preacher. I really do. The word I have for him is respect. He's like a big brother to me. I value what he thinks about me. And you know, young people, you ought to live the kind of life that you find people in your life that you don't want to disappoint. You might do it, except you don't want. My mama's 80 years old. And it's just some things I ain't going to do. My mom, I ain't finna trouble my mama. Say amen. She ain't going to pick up the newspaper and see my mug shot somewhere. Unless y'all bother my wife or children. Say amen when you can. Then all bets are off. Okay. I'd be like Paul and Silas. I'd go to jail and start a ministry. Are y'all going to ever have me back here again? That's right in the Bible. They went to jail and started in the ministry. Baptized the jailer. So if you're going to go, baptize somebody. Gentleman that I love passed. I share with you, preacher. I was supposed to be here through Tuesday. But one of the elders at the church where I formerly preached. First men I ordained, 1991. Second father to me. My father died many years ago. He took on the role. He passed away on Thursday. I got to go back home to my home, Tallahassee, funeralize him. His wife is like a second mama. She called me, son, you know, daddy don't want nobody else to preach his funeral but you, and I want you here. He's a veteran, and so they got to bury him in the middle of the week, and Tuesday. I wanted to stay. But, you know, God knows what he's doing. He always lines it up. And I called your preacher, and I couldn't help it. I just learned about it, and I couldn't help but to cry. And I said, man, I got a problem. And he's so nice to tell me, don't worry about it. Just leave on Monday. I was going to try to leave on Tuesday morning, leave at 4:30. And he said, no, don't do that. That man, Brother Woodson, Manly Woodson, he was a policeman, an officer in the Navy, elder in the church. That's one of the men I respected. And a lot of people I respect don't want to disappoint. I had a privilege, a unique privilege, this is true, of meeting three presidents now. Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, and Barack Hussein Obama. I work with the Florida Civil Rights Association. You think I just joke and play, and I do. But I got serious work that I do in Orlando. One of the men I baptized, Terrence Crooks, his wife Jasmine, I baptized him many years ago. He just moved to Dallas. So good to see you. He'll tell you that I work with the Florida Civil Rights Association. So when there's trouble in the black community, I work in the religious division. And when Trayvon Martin was shot, I was on TV. They had to do several interviews. And anytime there's trouble, they call me. So when Obama came to town, they asked me in my religious role, would I do the invocation? And I met him twice when he ran in 08. Nate Jenkins, one of our members, was his regional director in Orlando. And when Obama won, Nate moved to D.C. Nate works in the West Wing of the White House. He works in the Homeland Security. He's the chief of staff for the man that runs home. And when I go to D.C., Shelton, you ought to go with me. I was preaching in Suitland, Maryland. I don't get that regular tour that you get. I get behind the scenes. You out there with Pookie name. I go behind. I go behind the scenes. Nate took me back. I got special clearance when I was preaching at Suitland Road in Maryland, and Obama was in the Oval Office. He said, now don't bother him, but I can see him. And Joe Biden, I shook his hand out there. I went to the Rose Garden. You'd be surprised how small it is. I went down that hallway where he even showed me the quarters. He said, if you go right up there, that's where they live. They live up there. I went through the West Wing. I got not the regular tour, but the VIP tour. Membership has its privileges. Say amen when you can. Don't hate, congratulate. But Lord, let me land this plane. I got to land it. I know that. I know I get too long, but I get happy. I met Obama twice. They called me. They did. Say, you're doing the invocation, Pastor Leonard. That's what they call you. And I said, yes. They said, well, send us your prayer via of email. I said, send your prayer, sir. Pray, you know, I pray with the Holy Spirit. They said, no, you won't be praying with no Holy Spirit. I said, this is a secret service. They said, send us what you're going to say. I had to write out something and email it, and they said, okay, this sounds good. don't deviate. Don't just say, you know. And they gave me some pointers, and they let me know that they knew who I was and knew me well. They said, you still drive that black Mercedes?
Yeah.
Your wife still work at the law school?
Yeah.
Your credit rating still 700? Yeah, but they let me know. They just let me know. Now, look, don't act a fool up in there. And they tried to say, don't drink no coffee or nothing that make you nervous. So you're going to be in the president's space. See, it's the difference between being an audience and being behind. When you're in his space, you do not make sudden moves. No, they told me that. Say, if you got, you know, Tourette's or something, this is what the people told me. I'm not making this up, and I'm not laughing. So if you make a sudden move, it may be your demise. So I met Obama in the back. I shook his hand, and he said, thank you for the prayer, Reverend Leonard. And, folks, I didn't have time to straighten him out. See, I know so some of y'all would have right then, I ain't no reverend. Man, Secret Service standing around with guns everywhere. I'll write him one day and straighten him out, but I didn't. But I went out, and they told me, the last thing they told me, preacher, they said, now, what we want you to do is not say in Jesus' name, because we got atheists here and agnostics here and Jews and Muslims, and he's running for re-election this 2012. So we don't want to alienate anybody, so don't pray in Jesus' name. I said, man, I'm a Christian preacher. I said, if I don't put, that's my stamp on the letter. If you don't put a stamp on the letter, it's return to sender. It ain't going nowhere. I said, how can I pray? You can't ask me to pray and not say in Jesus' name. I said, I'm offended. You would ask a Christian preacher to pray and not say in Jesus. He said, well, don't say in Jesus. Don't run these people hot. We can't have it. And I'm thinking to myself, how can I maintain my integrity and yet not offend Obama's followers? I thought about it, and I got to the end of my prayer. I said, in the name of he who walked the boisterous waters. In the name of he who calmed the raging seas. The name of he who took two fish and five hush puppies and fed 5,000 men. In the name of he who said yes to the cross and no to the world. In his name. Did I get him? Did I get him? In his name. Amen. I'm going to tell you how you thrive. I respect Obama. I sure enough don't always agree with him, but I respect him. Matter of fact, if he walked in here today, protocol says, out of respect for who he is in the office, if he walked in, we ought to stand up. That's what respect does. You ought to stand up. But here's the difference. If Obama walked in today, I would stand up. But if Jesus walked in, I would bow down. See, y'all don't hear what I'm saying? It is more reverent to bow for a man. It ain't nothing wrong with you standing up and applauding your preacher, standing up applauding me. But when the Bible says, when Jesus come, one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come to Jesus right now. Come to Jesus. If you want to soar, if you want to sprint, maybe you can only stroll. Whatever category you're in, let me invite you, beloved. Hear the gospel, the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent, turn from your ways of sin, degradation, and iniquity. Verbalize, audibilize your faith and confidence. Confess him as Christ, the inerrant, only begotten of the Father. Join him in the liquid, watery grave of baptism. Be submerged, immersed in water for the remission, removal, and eradication of your sin. That process adds you to the church, but it won't keep you in the church. Immediately, you need to fall into one of three categories. You need to soar, you need to sprint, or you need to stroll, but never sit on Christ. If you're here and need to be baptized, come. you're here and already a member in sin and need to repent, come. If you're here today and desire prayer for yourself, a bequeath prayer for another, I beg, beseech, admonish, exhort you to come. Do it expeditiously while we stand and while we sing.
Lord, help me to live right while I run this race. Oh, Lord, help me live right while
now?
I run this race.
Today's the day of salvation.
Lord, help me to live right.
Right now is the accepted
while
time.
I run this race. You know that I don't want to run this race in vain. Lord, help me to live right.
Lord, help me to soar.
While I run this race. Oh,
help me to
mount
up with wings like
help
eagles.
Me to
Lord, when I can't soar, Lord, help me to sprint.
This
oh, help me to run and not be weary.
Lord, help me to
and
live
Lord, when
right.
I can't sprint, help me to stroll.
While I run this
help me to
race,
walk.
You know
and
that I don't want to run this race in vain. Racing way, Lord, and guide my feet.
You may be seated, beloved.
While I run this race, oh, Lord, and guide my feet, Lord.